People diagnosed with cancer often frequently develop mood disorders like depression, but sometimes before they even know they have cancer, ruling out just having a malignancy as the cause. But could the reason be that their cancer is actually in conversation with and manipulating their nervous systems? Paola Vermeer is a researcher at the University of South Dakota. She's found that developing cancers seem to form associations with nearby nerves and strike up a relationship. The nerves grow into the tumour, which can listen to and respond to the signals issuing from those nerves. But even more intriguing is that the cancer seems to be sending messages back to the brain via those same nerves, altering brain activity and chemistry, and therefore potentially also mood. She's just published the paper in eLife documenting how this seems to happen. It might, she argues, lead us to new ways to approach the management of cancer.
So we've known that tumors actually can infiltrate the nerves, and that's associated with a poor prognosis for many cancers. But what we're now learning is that it happens the other way around, that the nerves can actually infiltrate the tumors as well. They are two very separate processes. So when the tumor contacts the nervous system, it can utilize that as almost a roadmap to get to different parts of the body and metastasize. So it's a route for metastasis. But when the nerves infiltrate the tumors, they can actually release factors that further promote increased proliferation of the tumor and allow it to grow.
So it's almost like in the same way as the nerve would talk to a target organ in the body, like a muscle, it can talk to the tumor and provoke behavioral change on the part of the tumor.
Oh, absolutely. And we've started to define some of these molecules that are used in these conversations. So there is actually talk from the nerves to the tumors and then from the tumors back to the nerves. It's a very active communication where the two entities impact each other.
And what about higher centers? What about if you have a sensory nerve contacting a tumor? And obviously the job of a sensory nerve would normally be to relay information centrally up to the brain. Does that actually get reflected in a change in behavior then?
Yes, absolutely. And we were very intrigued by this because cancer patients really suffer a decline in their mental health. And we can study this by looking at behavior in mice where we implant tumors. So we saw that the brain was changed and the mouse behavior was also changed.
When you say the brain was changed, what did you actually see?
We saw that the brain regions that were connected to the nerves in the tumor had a very high activity. They were firing a lot more than the same regions of the brain from a non-tumor-bearing animal.
How was that reflected in behavioral change?
The behavioral tests that we use were really reflecting the well-being of the animal. And so their behaviors for those animals that had tumors went significantly down as the disease progressed. So they wouldn't make a good nest or they wouldn't eat a cookie because they were essentially depressed.
And this is not just because tumors are painful, because as we know, when you have a tumor growing invasively through various tissues, that is extremely uncomfortable. It wasn't just that in these animals. They're in pain. That's why they withdraw socially.
No, in fact, we tested that and we had a group of mice that we gave a tumor to, but then we treated them with a medication for their pain, and that did not fully restore their normal behavior. So it's not only pain information that is being relayed to the brain. There's more to it than just that.
And what about different types of tumor? Because some are more nerve-like in their behavior and the sorts of tissues of origin and the things they make, the tumors themselves. So would you expect that some tumors are probably going to have these sorts of effects to a greater extent than others?
Yes. And as you said, the location of the cancer can really dictate not only the extent of how many nerves infiltrated, but also what type of nerves. So all the tumors that we've looked at so far are innervated, but the types of nerves could be different, and therefore the influence of the nerves on the cancer could also be different.
What do you think this tells us then? Does this sort of show us a way that we should manage cancer differently, or does it open up different avenues for management?
Absolutely. It tells us that so far, all the cancer medications that we have completely ignore this nerve component of the tumor. So that isolates the nerves as a therapeutic target. And since we know some of the molecules, we can design drugs to target them. But it also tells us that beyond the local tumor, we need to consider what the connections to the brain are and how we can therapeutically mediate changes in behavior in cancer patients as well.
And looking at it the other way around, if you make the person's mood better, does that affect the behavior of the tumor?
We haven't tested that directly, but given the bidirectional nature of these communications, I would expect that yes, if you can change the neurons in the brain and the behavior, that should have an impact on the tumor itself.
Why has no one looked at this before?
The understanding that nerves are in cancers is relatively new, as surprising as that sounds. So we are just at the early stages of understanding not only that the nerves are there, how are they getting there, what are they doing, and what other neural components are they connected to. It's a very young field.
Absolutely fascinating. Paola Vermeer there.